I'm Morgan Springer from Next and the New England News Collaborative. We've talked about the economic struggles of this pandemic. Now we're going to look at one potential silver lining, the opportunity for climate action. It's likely the federal government will approve stimulus money again to try to boost the economy. And many environmentalists propose we intentionally direct some of those funds toward green recovery. But how? Bruce Gellerman is a senior reporter at WBUR in Boston, and he asked environmental thinkers in Massachusetts that very question during a recent reporting project. Bruce, thanks for coming on Next.
You bet, Morgan.
So first, tell us a bit about the project.
Well, I try to cast a wide net of people to get them to give me ideas on how to have this kind of green dream recovery. So I interviewed about 24 people, and they sent in their little audio clips of their ideas, and everything from like food waste composting to fusion energy. It was an amazing kind of collection of ideas.
Well, yeah, let's dig into one of those ideas. And one of the proposals was sustainable concrete. And I'll be honest, it didn't really grab me when I first saw it, but there's a reason I absolutely should be interested. Why is that?
Well, first of all, it's a contradiction in terms. Right now, you know, concrete is responsible for 7% of the world's carbon dioxide emissions because it uses fossil fuels, intense heat to make. And yet, after water, it's the world's most used substance. So sustainable concrete is a really powerful idea. And I spoke to someone from the MIT Concrete Sustainability Hub, and it's hard to believe something like that exists, but they're doing incredible work.
And what makes concrete sustainable?
Well, they're reformulating it so that it can have different materials, so that it doesn't take such intense heat to make and that it doesn't give off so much CO2 when it's being made.
Is that a hard process to go through?
It's tough. It is. And it's extraordinarily challenging in terms of the science and the economics. You know, you have to transition this entire global industry to a new process. That ain't cheap.
No, doesn't sound cheap. So here's another proposal.
Hi, Patricia Spence with the Urban Farming Institute. Since the pandemic hit, we've been growing more food and seedlings for our folks experiencing higher rates of food insecurity. With increased recovery funding, we can acquire more land and train more urban farmers so we can do our part to meet the other rapidly approaching crisis, climate change.
A fact sheet from University of Michigan puts carbon emissions from transporting food at around 5%. But how does Pat Spence propose we actually get the land needed to grow more food locally?
Well, the way she's developed the land, she has 5 plots around Mattapan and Roxbury and Dorchester in Boston, and she's got it through land trusts. That is, people donate the land, they get a tax benefit, and forevermore it becomes taken out of use for development except for farming. The idea is you have food grown where people use it. Not only that, but she teaches people how to market the foods and how to distribute the foods. So you're reducing the carbon miles that it needs to get from farm to fork.
All right, so moving on to quadrupling every state's energy efficiency investment, that's another proposal. Also sounds kind of expensive. What's the benefit here?
Oh, the benefit is huge, Morgan, because much of the energy that is used to heat and cool our buildings. But retrofitting existing buildings, which has to be done if we're going to meet our greenhouse gas emission goals and climate goals, is very tough. It's very expensive. If you can invest in that, in new old buildings, reducing their need for carbon fuels and giving people jobs and creating a new industry around that, well, then you've not only helped dig your way out of this COVID-19 crisis, but you've set up your communities and your cities for going forward to meeting the next crisis, which is, you know, climate change.
One of the people you talk to about a specific idea here is Susan Almano. She's one of the co-founders of Merrimack Valley Interfaith Team. Let's listen to what she had to say.
The program I would put at the center of a pandemic stimulus bill to address climate change would be free insulation for all buildings. This would lower everyone's energy bill, help small businesses grow, and provide many new jobs for energy assessors, insulation technicians, and inspectors.
You know, the idea is a multiplier effect, right? You know, insulation, for example, can give you, for every dollar you spend on insulation, it's estimated between $4.50 and $7 in payback in terms of reduced emissions and reduced consumption. So if we took that money now and invested it in retrofitting homes, building energy efficient plants, and so on, we're getting extraordinary bangs for our buck.
Could this have a particularly positive impact on communities of color where air pollution is often worse?
Absolutely, because we now know that COVID-19 really attacks communities where they have high levels of pollution near airports, near roadways. So, you know, you could definitely have a positive impact on those communities.
Your goal in writing this article was to kick off the conversation. So what's next? Which ideas actually have the chance of becoming a reality?
Well, it's really interesting. I started this project about 2 months ago, and many of these ideas, which kind of were around to be sure, have now been picked up in a bill being considered by the Democrats in Congress for a $1.5 trillion COVID recovery. So, you know, there's a possibility that they could actually see the light of day, but we'll see.
And we should just note the CARES Act, which approved economic relief money earlier in the pandemic, didn't direct money toward green recovery, but who's to say what future legislation could hold?
Exactly. I would say that, you know, globally, $12 trillion has gone to the COVID-19 recovery, and only 0.2% of that money has been spent on green projects.
Wow. Well, we'll leave it there. Bruce Gellerman is a senior reporter at WBUR in Boston. It's been great to talk to you, Bruce. Thank you.
You're welcome, Morgan.
Bruce wrote about 16 different options that environmental thinkers are proposing. To learn about the other ideas, go to our website, nextnewengland.org, and click on the post for episode 206. Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.